Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, by the time they reach the age of between 13 and 15, many girls have labelled themselves not sporty. Well, that's according to new research that has been released today by Sports Ireland. The Adolescence Girls Get Active research finds that the most powerful barrier preventing inactive girls from taking part in sport and physical activity is not feeling good enough to join in. Well, I'm joined now by Dr. Una May, who is Director of Participation and Ethics at Sports Ireland. And thank you, Dr. May, for joining us this afternoon. I suppose maybe we might start at the beginning and what is causing teenage girls to drop out of sport or perhaps even to go back another step, preventing them from getting involved in the first place?
Well, I guess the report we've carried out explores not just what the barriers are, but it starts by trying to understand a little bit about the world of teenagers in Ireland and coming from that then, the world in which they live and how that influences their engagement with sport. So they've been identified, as you mentioned before, as on a spectrum between those who consider themselves and label themselves as not sporty through to the ones who are sporty. And then you have the ones in the middle who are gradually disengaging from sport as they get older. So our job is to try and ensure that we get all girls active as much as possible. And we've carried out this report to try and figure out what it is, as you say, that's stopping them. So when we're trying to change behaviours, we have to look at a number of different factors around people's abilities, their capabilities, their motivation and the opportunities they have. And girls have an awful tendency to, I suppose, look at their capabilities and consider themselves not good enough. So that can often have stemmed from an early experience maybe of a small number of maybe traditional team sports that they might have experienced in school. And they take that to be their understanding of sport. And if they weren't good at those sports, they feel they're no longer going to consider themselves to be sporty. So that gives us straight away ammunition for us to identify the possibility for these girls to find alternative opportunities. Not only do they consider themselves not sporty, they look at themselves as not belonging in sport because they're letting the team down or they're maybe embarrassed or body conscious. You know, and all those things make them feel that they're not, but they don't belong in sport. They recognise that sporty girls, they consider them to be popular, confident, cliquey, attractive. So these are all stereotypes that are reinforced in popular culture and in the girls' everyday experiences of sport. So what we're trying to do is find ways that they will move away from those visions that they have and help them to find fun in sport. So that they currently feel that there isn't a whole lot of fun in sport. And just because they want fun doesn't mean they don't like competition, but the problem is that competition has a tendency these days to be related to a skill level that maybe isn't matched by their own skill level, and as a result they think that competition is what's not fun, and in fact it's actually just their skill level, the competition that they're targeting is not at the appropriate level. They also really lack information about alternative options. And I suppose this is a particular challenge in rural areas where we have traditional offerings that are available to girls, and their understanding is that this is it, that's the limitation. Sport Ireland funds over 50 governing bodies of sport, covering a multitude of different sport and physical activity opportunities, and our local sports partnerships offer, you know, an even wider variety of sports. So we have to make sure that they can find these sports and they get these opportunities and that they don't have difficulty accessing them, because that's a huge problem for girls in rural areas when independence is a really important aspect of their lives. They don't like the fact that they can't.
Sure, when you say the non-traditional options, like I suppose you're talking about what the GAA sports team or the local football club or whatever it might be.
Yeah, well I suppose they would be traditionally what's offered. They are often what's offered in schools. The most common sports that are offered in schools are soccer, Gaelic football, basketball and camogie hurling. So, you know, we need to offer them things like, you know, tennis, badminton, cycling. You know, there are many, many other sports, archery, lawn bowls. There's so many other possibilities out there. And we need to get these girls to understand that there are alternative options. And when we explored with them what would help to get them more active and what were the things that might motivate them, that might find more interesting, there were a number of things they identified. So they want fun, but they also want excitement. They want more exciting, more daring adventures. And interestingly enough, I suppose, during this recent year we've just had, they've obviously been outdoors more, but they actually really enjoy being outdoors. They like the connection with nature, and they but they're not only the connection with nature, they're also looking for adventure pursuits. So that's something that's a big lesson for us. They want more variety, so we need to look at how we offer them a range of activities rather than just one activity. And I think the idea of multi-sport clubs and things like that is something we'll have to look at. They want better facilities.
I just wonder, sorry to interrupt you, because I when you're talking about more excitement, for example, and daring adventures, they're looking at some of the examples given are figure skating and ice hockey and horse riding, you know, which sounds great, but it sounds also like the type of thing that you might do on a once-off sort of retreat. I mean, it's not the sort of thing that most people would have access to on any sort of a daily or weekly basis. So is it realistic to say that those are the sort of things that we should look at to provide to girls?
Well, I suppose those are listed because the girls were asked to look online and find pictures of things that excited them.
Okay.
And those were the kind of things they identified. Now, we mightn't immediately be able to provide them with ice hockey because we don't have an ice rink in Ireland,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah.
But we can also offer them plenty of other opportunities. I mean, they also identified things like mountain biking. And you know, so there are many other opportunities. So I think the point being that these are not the obvious activities that wouldn't strike us as immediately what we might be offering to the girls. So we have to give them more variety and we have to give them those opportunities to try new things out. The other mm-hmm. challenge is, They realise when they get to a teenage years, if they haven't tried a sport when they were younger, that the participants in those activities have often reached a skill level that intimidates the girls when they become teenagers. So we have to provide more entry level opportunities for them at a teenage, you know, range, so that when they are first introduced to an activity, they're not the one who doesn't know how to do it or who can't do it, and they're not left kind of embarrassed by their skill level. So we have to give them more opportunities that are appropriate to their own level and entry-level opportunities.
And what is happening there, do you think, that we have to do all these things for girls when we don't seem to have to do all these things for boys? Is it that boys are generally automatically, for example, put into some of these team sports at a young age, just by virtue of societal norms, and that's what we've got used to? But, you know,
I suppose this report specifically targets teenage girls, and they are a specific target group for us because their levels of participation are very low. But to be honest, the levels of participation amongst boys are not 100% better. So
okay.
They are 100% better, but that's from a very low base. So what we do need to do is figure out what we can do for boys as well. So Sport Ireland is looking at insights into different target audiences. So we need to kind of, we can't treat all of our population as a homogenous group. They all have different needs. They all have different barriers, different perceptions of what their lives consist of and what the challenges are in their lives. So we have to identify specific groups and work on each group individually to identify what works for them. But I do think there will be quite a bit of overlap. I think a lot of boys would also engage with a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
Who doesn't want to ice skate?
Well, yeah, you never know. There's plenty of them out there. Speed skating would be a great attraction.
It certainly would. Una, I'm afraid we have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us this evening to talk us through it. That's Dr. Una May, who's Director of Participation and Ethics at Sports Ireland.